Now at McDonald's, a sausage McMuffin is only $1.50. So stop dreaming about breakfast sausage and go get it. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, the game on this Thursday afternoon. We are indeed practicing social distancing. I'm south of town. Willie's east of town. Chase is west of town. Elijah Campbell holding down the fort back at our Wholesale Inc. studios, powered by Rumble On. And we do appreciate Elijah keeping us on the air. That is our setup today and our setup for the foreseeable future. And we told you all day, we had a good conversation with Dennis Kelly in the last hour, Titans offensive lineman who just inked a new deal. We had Caleb Joseph on in the first hour. Good conversation with him, finding out what is he doing right now with no baseball, as he is a member of the Toronto Blue Jays. And we told you we're going to head down to Atlanta and talk with Chris Domino, our buddy down there from 680 The Fan, who's been anchoring the airwaves down there for many, many years, has a pulse of what's going on just south of us. And we want to find out what the Titans have in Vic Beasley, even though Chase keeps acting like we're going to talk about the 91 Braves. If that's what he wants to do, he can do it. I'd rather talk about the 91 Braves than the 95 Braves. That hits me a little bit harder. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope you guys are, and I hope your families are too.
What is the setup for you right now down in Atlanta?
We're still in studio. Okay. We have sort of a smaller setup. We're on the top floor of a four-story building, and everything so far has been good. And it's a limited, you know, it's just basically on-air staff, and it's just had somebody who's smart enough to push all the buttons to keep us on and do everything we're supposed to do. So as far as we know, that's what's going to be happening, and obviously you can change it any minute, but we're still in studio.
Like us, you've been doing this for a long time. Can you think of anything that comes close to, to what we're experiencing right now?
No, it's so, it's so far reaching. There's so many tentacles. You know, I've said for years, one of the reasons why you want local teams to do well is the restaurants, bars, bartenders, waitresses, small business owners. When the city's in a good mood, everybody wins. And, you know, it's sort of not measurable. I mean, I know a bunch of guys who are in that business and other businesses that say, you know, whether it was Thursday, Friday, the first couple of weeks of the NCAA tournament, that was money. You know, Mickey Mantle used to tell young guys who came to the Yankees something. He used to say, hey, don't blow this because I've already spent my World Series money. As in, that money's already been accounted for. We go to the World Series around here. And I think when you talk about the NCAA tournament and, you know, events and the businesses that surround events, and really, again, the uptick that happens when you guys saw it with the Preds. It's the, you know, what's the rise? You know, what, every boat actually rises because everybody's in a good mood, and there's really none of that right now. So, you know, my heart aches for a lot of people who are dealing with a lot of things right now. And, you know, again, I have no idea, better or worse, how long time frames, but there's a reality to what's going on. I will say the other part, and we had John Smoltz on today, and it's one of the things we've talked about a little bit. If we truly believe that there's going to be a mindset change, emotional change, physical change, back at the end of this and then over to the other side of when this is done to whatever level done is, you know, I hope we all sort of hold on a little bit to some of the things. I went out in my neighborhood last night, the walk where you're all of a sudden you're seeing people you haven't seen in a while in one neighborhood over, and people are distancing, you know, from a distance waving and telling you to have a good night. And if there's something that maybe comes out of it, maybe there's a little bit of reality that you don't have to all walk around with sort of a lump face on.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're trying to figure out a day later what the Titans have in a one-year deal, kind of prove-it deal, even though I would love for a one-year prove-it deal at $9.5 million. I'm still looking for that in my career, but that looks like that is the case for Vic Beasley. And now the Tennessee Titans moving forward. You obviously covered him. You've seen him since the Falcons initially drafted him. How would you best describe what the Titans have acquired in Beasley.
Do you want the good news?
Oh, there is good news. Yeah, let's start with the good news.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Okay. That's good.
Great guy. Charity-driven. I've been involved with an event with him for a few years now, and he's a really humble, down-to-earth, great guy.
Okay.
The problem is you need Sundays, and you need whether and look, there has to be a flip that switched, and I think we overuse that expression in sports. He sort of plays football like a great, nice guy, and that's not good enough in that world. And when he gave him over $12 million here last year with the whole idea that it was a prove-me type deal, and it was Dan Quinn who absolutely went all in and talking about, he's either going to love me or he's going to hate me, but I promise he'll be a better football player. It didn't really happen. And he's not a three-down guy, and I think that's a little bit problematic. Although, if you're really good at one thing, the one-down thing, the only getting the quarterback, that's fine. I know what the sack numbers say, 8.5, but I got to be honest. He doesn't really have a moment. He doesn't have a, as he leaves, let's shake his hand and thank him for the time here. He doesn't have one of those. You know, and that's kind of from that position in the world in the league where they want to throw the ball. If you're not a game wrecker, or at least an occasional game wrecker, if you don't help at that position to win two football games over the course of the year, did you underachieve? Were you overpaid? However you want to put it, I think Vic certainly fits into that mold. And when they did say he was coming back for $12-plus million, I think a lot of people said, this isn't going to be good. And in reality, a guy with, we thought his talent was never really going to be working on a one-year deal at this age, but he's in the one-year deal world because I think Vrabel is the perfect guy for him, but I also know that they weren't willing to say this is 3 and 4 years, and we believe we got a you know, Billy Badass walking in the door because that's not what he is.
That's interesting. So that, to me, sounds like he's the byproduct of a really nice guy who's good for your room, great for everybody to deal with. So that's a real positive. But he has been, you know, he's been basically labeled because of where he was drafted. Not his fault, but because he was a top 10 pick. It's like, yeah, he's been good. He's been solid, but not lived up to that draft pick. I think the Titans have obviously experienced that with Corey Davis. Really nice guy, great guy to deal with. But he's been labeled because he was the fifth pick overall and the first wide receiver taken, and he hasn't. It's unfair to him, but that's what it is. He was paid for that, so he has to live with that, and so he is always compared to where he was drafted, and that sounds to me like what you're saying about Beasley.
Yeah, I'll ask all three of you guys. The idea that you have to figure out, like if you have to chase your tail on a first-round pick and have to get a do-over, that can set you back, and it happens in the quarterback world. First-round quarterback picks are a 50-50 prop, it's a flip of a coin. But in a world where they tell you, you know, get to the quarterback, stop the run, and if I can find a guy, you know, DeMarcus Ware light. When you're drafted there, DeMarcus Ware light. Give me a guy who can drop back into space. Give me a guy who can actually put his hand in the dirt. Give me a guy who can stand up and beat people, bull rush him, speed him. When you think you're getting that guy because of, as you said, where they're picked, and he doesn't turn out to be that, it's strange. Look, his 15.5 sacks might be, I don't want to call it the biggest anomaly I've seen because he did it, but it's just strange when I think back, because that's not a guy who you're supposed to let walk away. That's a guy who's supposed to get an extension in that going into the last year thing. And it just never felt like that's what they could do. And if you want motivation, if being in the league matters to you, as you guys said, and you guys know because it happened, the one-year deal is supposed to be the thing. But he was on a one-year deal this past year. And again, the 8.5 sacks, it's just not a game wreck type looking guy. You know, and again, whether you compare him to this guy or this guy, first round pick, fifth round pick, free agent, a guy who had a career, then every search to have it, he's sort of, I wish he was an enigma. I think we kind of figured him out. Now change of scenery, different voice in the room. There's upside, I'm assuming, still, or else smart people in Tennessee wouldn't have said, let's go get this guy. But they're probably going to either have to use a different tactic or they're going to have to look him in the eye and say, here's what's expected of you. Now go do this. You guys know you can't win in any league unless you have guys who play above their pay grade. You can't. I don't care what your pay is. There have to be certain guys who play above their pay grade. It never felt like, short of that one season when the numbers were eye-popping, that he played above his draft status or his pay grade.
We're talking to Chris Domino, 680 The Fan in Atlanta. So, Chris, as you look through your scope at the AFC South with Tom Brady coming into the division with Tampa, Teddy Bridgewater making the move, looks like the Cam Newton day era in Carolina is over. What does the division look like through your eyes, and where do the Falcons fit in?
So the James Winston thing, and I look, really smart people try, as I said, to overwork the idea of who do we take a quarterback, and it's still a 50-50 crop. I would never have touched Jameis Winston. You know, and then he became a poet, and he was eating W's and all that stuff after the college thing. It just, to me, doesn't work. 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and I'm telling you, I don't think I can win with that guy. And Bruce Arians said the same thing. Now, Brady's an exception, but it's a 43-year-old version. I think, and by the way, Winston threw for a lot of yards against the Atlanta Falcons, but I think it was six games they lost by a touchdown or less. And I think the number was he had 18 turnovers in those six games. So even if you get Tom Brady at 43, who doesn't do that to you, Bruce Arians thinks, obviously, it's an upgrade. It's certainly an upgrade on the back of the card, but the division certainly is tougher. Drew Brees, you know, I think there was this feeling that maybe he retires. He was never going to leave New Orleans because it's just not – I don't think it's who he is, and I don't think life – business for Drew Brees would be smart if he left. I think he knows he's got a good thing down there. He's still a really, really good football player. So that didn't happen. And the Bridgewater thing is going to be interesting because Cam wasn't Cam really for the last couple of years because of injuries and maybe a mindset. But Joe Brady, the guy they brought in from LSU, I think really had one job on the staff this year, and it's go pick the quarterback that they think they can win with, at least in the here and now. And he picked Teddy Bridgewater, which will mean I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, not only what he did in New Orleans, but the fact that Joe Brady probably knows what he's doing at that position. So division is going to be tough. I mean, the idea of seeing Tom Brady in that uniform is going to be goofy. You go from the, I don't care if you like the Patriots, and I don't, that red, white, and blue sort of was Captain America-ish. I don't even know what throwback day in Tampa is going to look like with Tom Brady in that uniform. I mean, sort of horrifying, except he's too great maybe to have it look completely horrifying. But the division is tough. And look, the Falcons, I'll give them credit in this regard. They just signed Dante Fowler for $48 million, and I didn't think a $48 million deal was coming because of all the cap stuff. But they started to cut, sign, and now 7-9 has got to be different. And the good news, and you guys know this, whether signing Vic to a one-year deal precludes you from having to draft that, I've always said if I can buy it and feel good about the buy, and I don't have to go draft it on top of that, I can go to another need. That's sort of what the Atlanta Falcons are, and I'm assuming that's what Tennessee has done. If they buy into Vic Beasley, they shouldn't have to draft that position high in the draft. That should now be a back burner pick, and you're allowed to go do something else, which is what I think the boards look like in both the GM's rooms and the head coach's rooms.
Chris, you kind of painted a picture earlier in our chat here of what it's like at your station. I'm curious how you're constructing your shows these days. Yeah. I know how much you enjoy baseball history, and you do a lot of baseball talk. Mm-hmm. We're all enjoying some of these throwback broadcasts on MLB Network. I know I am. You probably are as well. But
yeah,
how are you putting your shows together, and how much are you talking about, you know, some PSA kind of things to keep your audience informed of what's going on, as well as providing a little relief or release from all of the seriousness going on around us?
Yeah, it's a great question. We actually had the governor on morning show this morning, so the show before ours, and he certainly laid a little bit of the State of the Union as it comes to the state of Georgia. And I think that's a responsibility that you still have. We don't, you know, I said that we're living with this. Whatever you think this is, that's up to you. I'm not here to try to tell you what this is. I'm here to tell you what your new world order is. There is the idea that, hey, here's what's going on in my house. I think there's a relatability. I think as parents, I think as guys who are missing games, I think there's a day-to-day it might be what's a little bit more important to you. Both Nick and I, my partner, we're pop culture guys, movie guys, TV guys, sports history guys. We had John Smoltz on today, as I said, and I think we'll do some of those things. I do think that people need a little bit of a break. Look, we're all under the impression that with no sports, what are you going to do? Well, the NFL has absolutely helped. All of this stuff in the NFL has made it feel like normal. As a matter of fact, it's felt better than normal because especially things going on with the collective bargaining agreement. But I think it's got to be entertaining. It's got to be lighthearted at times. I don't think anybody really wants to play the bully pulpit game. I do know that people might have an eye more on the news cycle, certainly, and for all the right reasons, but I still think there's got to be something, and it's relatability. I have 16 and 14-year-old daughters who are home right now. The reason I didn't pick up the phone the first time when you guys called, I thought I was always going to be smarter than my kids when it comes to schoolwork. Well, I'm not. That's over. I'm not a day smarter. I just they asked a question about how to send something in, and I don't know what the hell my daughter was talking about. She's 14. So those days are done. Like, I'm learning something. I'm not as smart as a 14-year-old. I certainly don't know what she's doing on that laptop because her fingers are flying across it. We had a conversation last night. I don't know what everybody's family situation is listening, but I did tell them in a really sort of honest way, I wish they were 4-2 and 5-3, and they were riding a tricycle, and they were outside sort of playing in the backyard and not having to worry about this. But at 16 or 14, we have the conversation. It's going to be different for a lot of people. It's going to be different here. You guys are going to be in the house a hell of a lot more than you ever thought you were going to be. Soccer is canceled. I got a daughter who blew out her knee. She blew her ACL Thursday night, the last night before everything got closed down, 6 minutes left in a game. We're trying to prehab at home because she can't really go in places. Nothing open for her to go rehab at or before surgery. Surgeries are closed. Surgeries are canceled. I'm talking to the doctor, and again, I'm not telling you that this is a big world problem. It's not, but there are things that every family has that you have to sit down. You want this? Well, speaking of the mind shift change, I do think we all need a little bit of rewiring. And if everything goes well as it can until it's better, my kids know that we're in a rewiring phase. You can't just do what you want. You can't, we're going to have more discussions about why we do things and why we don't do things. And that was the for real dinner table conversation last night. And I think a lot of people, while I'm not giving every detail on the air and I'm not doing it here, I do think that people are dealing with that stuff. And I think that's their reality. Keep it upbeat when it can be. Make it relatable when it needs to be. And if you have kids that are 2 and 4, enjoy them because it's a different set of things than it is for 16 and 14. And kids who's senior proms and everybody's talking about the college guys. What do we do? What do we do with the college athletes? I'm going to be very honest. I feel worse for the high school kids. I got a junior who plays soccer. I don't know if she's a player or not, but I do know that there's a lot of time lost. The seniors who don't have – I took my 14-year-old at school, and I drive through the senior parking lot. And I watched kids just a couple of weeks ago having a great time. They're living out their last year. They're hanging out with the people that they've gotten to know over X amount of years, and I feel horrible for them. I feel horrible for the athletes. I feel horrible for the juniors who are not going to get seen now this whole spring. It just stinks. I don't think you want to wear that heavily on your sleeve every day because there is stuff, and it does need to be funny and entertaining and lighthearted. But I do think there's some realities that we're not supposed to run away from. It's not the politics of it. It's not the what do you believe in it. I just think there's some life stuff that the reason terrestrial radio works for me because it's the relatability of the people who are on. These are our people. We're in this together. Our teams don't get a chance to play. Our team has a salary cap problem. I think all that stuff probably comes to the forefront a little bit more that we're in this together.
Chris, good stuff. We'll check back in with you. I don't know if you were going to Puerto Rico, but just so you know, at the end of April, the Mets and Marlins, that's been canceled, so don't go to Puerto Rico. That's out.
If I do, I imagine I'm going to be sitting in an empty building.
And we're gonna have to keep checking in with you just to see really how much your family loves you. We're all gonna have to go through this. We're gonna find out how strong all of our families are here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, and I'll have to ask about Otis Nixon's 91 season. So we'll do that another time.
By the way, we are doing something about 25 years later. Smoltz is the first one. I got David Justice coming on. We're gonna do sort of. Hey, if you're looking at good times in a city when you only have one championship along with a soccer one, so let me pull that back. We have two. I do not want to get any MLS people angry. It's a true championship, so we have two since 1966. You might as well harken back to some of those stories and maybe some of the stories that haven't been told yet. But you guys can use this. Here's my public service announcement about whatever this is going on in your house. That's what the backyard is for. I have an expression, that's what the backyard is for. You want to go yell at a tree, go yell at a tree. If you got to go down the street and yell at a tree, go yell at a tree. It's what the backyard is for. We're all trying to not have that moment inside the four walls where you just had enough. Because, again, everybody's situation is there's going to be a moment where, whether it's homework, schoolwork, I don't understand this, why can't I see this person, why can't I do that? Go to your backyard or find a tree and yell at the tree because I swear to you, no one in your family really wants to hear it.
Yeah. Well, first, it's got to stop raining in Nashville before I can tell my kid to go out to the backyard. I mean, one of these days, it's going to stop being 80% chance of rain in Nashville.
Do you know what it gives me more time to do, though? It gives me more time to say MLB baseball in Nashville. I mean, I don't know. I'm on a campaign. Well, I don't really have a campaign. It's just one man. But now that I might have a couple of more minutes on my hand, if there's anything I can do, let me know.
Oh, that sounds even better. Chris, appreciate it as always. We'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Hope everybody's
well. You too. That's right. Chris Tamino. We always love our conversations with him. 680 down in Atlanta. Good conversation with him. 680 the Fan, to be exact. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game on this Thursday. Good stuff from Chris Tamino, 680 The Fan, down in Atlanta. We, of course, wanted to ask him about Vic Beasley, and Chris is always in tune with what's going on down there, and I knew he would have good answers on Vic Beasley. This is what, guys, I took from it. One, he's a great guy to deal with. That's fantastic for what we do because, really, when you think about it, I know this is selfish reasons, but, look, fans interact with players, so they should care, too. We've lost some really good guys, the Titans, to deal with, right? I mean, Jarrell Casey getting shipped off yesterday, it was a fantastic guy to talk to and deal with. Like, we had some awesome interviews with Jarrell Casey over the years, especially at training camp. They've lost some guys that have been, obviously Mariota, even though we never really got a chance to talk to him, but he's a great guy. I didn't really want to do interviews, but I'm just saying some of the guys. Conklin was very good to deal with. I mean, the list goes on and on. So
did you mention Wesley Woodyard?
No. Is he signed somewhere else?
He hasn't. Not yet. Huh? No, not yet, but I mean, okay. He was one that was good to deal with.
He's great to deal with. I didn't want to include him because I'm still holding out hope that he ends his career here.
I think that would be a really good move, especially with the guys that you just mentioned that have left the locker room. And there's a report Ian Rapoport put out there about Logan Ryan that he doesn't want to take less than $10 million per year, which is what he made last year. You know, who knows if the Titans are trying to make, you know, to bring him back. But I think if they're able to sign Wesley Woodyard, even on a one-year deal of, hey, you're going to be a role guy, a special teams guy, and it's not a lot of money, I would love to see him come back and be in that locker room.
Are you talking about Woodyard or Logan Ryan?
Woodyard.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, I would love to see him end his career here. He's had an unbelievable – I mean, you want to talk about undrafted stories right there? Wesley Woodyard, for people that want to, you know, reference Priest Holmes and all the other cool undrafted stories, I mean, Wesley Woodyard, think about his career. Look what he has carved out in the NFL. That's an undrafted guy. That's amazing that guy went 7 rounds without getting drafted. Are you kidding me?
And he's been a captain. Every
of
year.
Course, he's been a captain everywhere, a leader and a captain every step of the way, his entire playing career, going all the way back to college. And I mean, he's always been a leader, no matter what level we've talked about. But first, let's wrap up on Vic Beasley, then we'll get to Logan Ryan. You know, he was drafted 8th overall by the Falcons. I think what Chris was saying is I think he was agreeing with what my assessment of kind of the way we feel about Corey Davis right now, right? Great guy to deal with. But just he is going to be forever linked to being the 5th overall pick. And there's really been – obviously there's been a couple wow moments. He's won them some games. And I just didn't feel like Chris was ever saying there was really even any wow moments for Vic Beasley, even when he had 15.5 sacks. It's not like – I think what he was painting the picture, it's not like he took over, you know, games or for stretches of his career. He was kind of acting like there's not a mean bone in his body, and he's really nice and probably too nice even on the field. That's kind of what I took out of it. What did you guys think?
Well, I give him this. I think a lot of Ryan Tannehill as he is laying that out with Vic Beasley. You guys, we've had a lot of philosophical discussions on when you're tagged as the first-round pick, there's a certain built-in level of expectation of your performance. When you switch addresses, like Vic Beasley is going to, I think he's going to have the benefit of not having that tag as much, just like Tannehill, right? He doesn't have the burden anymore of, well, we spent the first-round pick on this guy, and he's supposed to be the franchise guy, or he's supposed to be all-pro. Now the expectations are much lower for Vic Beasley. If he can give him one nice year, then that's good. And maybe you catch lightning in a bottle like they did last year with Tannehill, and they're hoping to continue to do. Does that make sense? I think some players might flourish better and play better when they don't carry that burden of, man, I'm the first-round pick. I'm supposed to be doing all these great things.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And, you know, I'm curious to see what the relationship is going to be like with Vrabel. I mean, you know, that's my biggest thing, and we've talked about it. You know, you guys have brought that up too, of just can Vrabel find a little something extra, and going on the whole premise of this organization and the type of guys that they bring in. I don't think John Robinson makes this move unless he thinks, okay, putting Vic Beasley with Mike is the right way, and that's going to get the best out of him. So I'm really curious to see what that's going to be like.
All right, on to Logan Ryan. So Ian Rappaport has put out a tweet that is saying that he has touched base with somebody close to the Titans, free agent Logan Ryan, who's one of the top players still out there, who's available, who has not signed. He said that Logan Ryan is open to entertaining all offers and will consider a short-term deal, and that he will. And he was. And Ian Rappaport said he's being told that he will not take less than $10 million per year, which is what he earned last year. I don't really know where that's big news. I mean, we've talked about this for a good while. Why would we think Logan Ryan's going to get less than what he just played for when he has produced?
But I'm surprised that he hasn't.
Well, he's 29. I mean,
right?
He just turned 29 last month. Is that old?
But this is the reality of this is what's tough in the salary cap. Is unlike baseball, where you could, when there's no salary cap, you can overpay if you have the means, with a little bit more regard of how valuable the guy has been for you. But unfortunately, you have to look ahead to what his value is likely going to be. He's probably on the downside of his career. You hope that that's not the case, but you can't afford – well, I shouldn't say you can't afford, because this guy is a special guy, right? This is not your everyday guy. This is a guy that carries huge intangible value, much like Jarrell Casey. But I think they just showed you that there's a limit to what they are willing to pay for a guy at that stage of his career, because the odds and statistics – the history of the league shows that the wear and tear is going to catch up to most people when they start hitting that age.
Yeah, I mean, he had four picks last year. He had by far his best year since he's been with the Titans. You know, what's interesting is in the previous 2 years, he didn't have an interception at all. So I think that's something that you look at. But at the same time, I thought the market for him, there wouldn't be necessarily a huge market, but I thought that you would hear more about him until the Rappaport tweet that we just read. So I do wonder if he's willing to take a short-term deal. If you're John Robinson, do you call and say, hey, you know, we'll do $10-11 million for a year. Would you be willing to come back on that and then see what happens? I would totally do that, especially clearing the cap room.
Well, don't you guys think there's probably been some talks between – extensive talks between Ryan's group and Robinson's group? And I do wonder – It leads me to believe that Logan Ryan just has not been impressed with what the Titans have gone to this point.
I don't know. I don't know if you can truly say
your money goes further here, right? So
sure.
I don't know. I can't imagine they haven't offered Logan Ryan a chance to come back, but I'm sure he's just not impressed with what they've offered.
I don't know if you can really definitively say that, though, because we're seeing so many moves that are very Belichickian in the Patriot way, and John Robinson has been able to do that. So who knows? He might be looking at it as, we love Logan Ryan and his 3 years here, but I'm going to go find something cheaper and younger. And maybe they haven't had those conversations. I would hope that they have, because you guys know how I have felt about Logan Ryan, but I don't know if you can be definitive in saying that they have presented an offer and it just hasn't been the right one.
Is it time for you to start reaching out to your man crush, Logan Ryan, and ask him what he's going to do?
I could. Yeah, you know
via
what?
Via Twitter?
I think I should. I'll tweet at him.
Eventually, somebody's going to answer you, you know?
I feel somebody. Like if I'm percent, if I keep at it, somebody's going to do it.
I agree. All right, we'll come back. More on the other side. We'll pick up this discussion. There's a couple of other things out there we want to pass along and discuss here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe practicing social distancing today. We are at our homes, one down in Rutherford County, the other in East Nashville, the other out on the west side of town. Elijah Campbell holding down the fort at our Hosel Inc. studios, powered by Rumble On. And that's on Murfreesboro Pike there, close to the airport. Willie, you've got a tweet out there you want to read. Let's discuss when you're done.
Yes, absolutely. And Darren, let me say this too. I don't know if you guys would concur in your respective neighborhoods. You mentioned, you know, we're all coming at you from different areas in our listening area here. But I have observed that I'm really glad to see it. When I go for a jog in the morning, I'm seeing so many less cars on the road. You know, and less, you know, people are allowed to be out and about, you know, exercising, walking. I see a lot of people doing that. That's great. But I do think a lot of people are getting the message about the social distancing. So I just want to say a big salute to all of you that are doing your part, because I think it's important. So I know we focus a lot on, you know, what's going on at the beach, et cetera, people that haven't gotten the message. But to those that have, I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah, well said. In fact,
so I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, the wife is starting today too, so she's downstairs. I'm upstairs. That's how we're.
What is Maddox
your
intern?
Well, we're all sectioning off the houses, right? Because next week, at least I know for our kids, they're going to do a form of online schooling classes. I'm not exactly sure how all the details are going to work yet, but you know, so we're working on that. So I know a lot of households are sort of in that same boat.
Well, Rutherford County has floated that out there, too, about online stuff. Yeah, that's starting to get floated out there, too, which tells me they're not coming back on April 6th or whatever it is anytime soon. You probably could relate to what Chris Domino was talking about, because it sounds like his kids' ages are pretty much right in line with what you have at home.
Oh, spot on.
What do you say, 14 and 16?
My daughter plays lacrosse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have 14 and 17. So I have a daughter who's a junior lacrosse player. So we know on the high school level that is, you know, that we know what's coming there, a big change. And now, you know, you don't have that camaraderie of getting together with your teammates, you know, and doing all of that. So just trying to, you know, stay active and adjust is a big thing. Chris did a great job, I think, of describing what's that like. And I feel terrible for his daughter that has an injury on top, and there's complications on how you get the physical therapy that you need. Darren, you and I know what all that entails,
yeah.
Right? You know, the regimen of the physical therapy you need when you have an injury, that's a very important thing. And yet, because of where we are right now, it can't be a priority for our medical workers out there in a lot of cases. So, yeah, I mean, this is what we're dealing with here.
All right, you had a tweet you wanted to
so
read.
You wanted to talk about a story. Yeah, let me throw this out there, because I think as we put the puzzle together, and this is something that we have time to do, and this is the upside of having some sports news with the NFL transactions going on. There's a lot of talk that Todd Gurley is available via trade from the LA Rams. And it is, I think, in some people's view, a cautionary tale of spending a lot of money on the running back, right? And the Titans are entering into this. They have a special running back. Todd Gurley is a special running back. They invested big money in Todd Gurley. There are still 4 years remaining on his contract, and yet they are looking to get out from under that by putting him on the trade block. And so Charles Robinson, who covers the Rams, put this out there. If you were to trade for Todd Gurley, $12.6 million in signing bonus, money that he's already got, in other words, would be accelerated to the Rams cap. So the acquiring team would be on the hook for a base salary of $13.05 million this coming year, $9 million in 2021, 2022 would be $10 million, and 2023 and $12.45 million. Now, the reality is the last couple of years of that contract likely you wouldn't pay him that. but it just shows you because it's not, there's the guaranteed money is passed, so you could just cut him loose, I guess. But this is stuff to keep in mind as they move forward with Derrick Henry, because we can all say he's on top of his game, he's a dominant player, and he is. But how big is that window, and how do you pay him correctly going forward? That's a big, big question.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. But I also just go with what I've said all along. I know it's scary to pay a running back that type of money. It could definitely turn out like a David Johnson or a Todd Gurley or whatever, but they don't have a choice. He is the team. He's the most popular player on the team. You have fans chanting Henry, and if they keep most of the big guys together and they go and they win a Super Bowl or they're competing for Super Bowls every year, then I think it's worth doing. And if you have to get out after 2 or 3 years, then that's what happens. But I don't think they really have a choice, even though there are cautionary tales, as you said.
How do we think it's going to play out with Derrick Henry? I don't think any of us believe he's going to remain on a tag, right? And they've got plenty of time to figure this out. But, I mean, what do you think if it's a deal, then what do you think that number ends up being?
Well, so Gurley's big deal that he signed a couple years ago, what has happened to Todd Gurley since then? He's been productive, but he has had some injury issues, and they are issues that look like, when you look into the crystal ball, are going to linger with him for a while, right? Like for the rest of his career. So are his best days behind him? I don't know, but they took a different approach with him this year. Todd Gurley's deal was upped by Ezekiel Elliott's deal, right? So these are the parameters that I'm sure Derrick Henry is looking for with his new deal, somewhere in this ballpark. Now, would you guys say it would be wise for John Robinson to try to come in under those numbers, right? Under Gurley, under Elliott, but probably somewhere in between. So where is that sweet spot, and how far is Robinson willing to go?
Okay, so right now on the tag, he would make $10.278 million. All right, that's not the number that we need to worry about. The number that you need to worry about is the guaranteed. That's really all Derrick Henry's going to care about. And so the total guarantees for Ezekiel Elliott is right at $50 million. The fully guaranteed is 28. Those are the two numbers that I think you focus on. And so I think that Derrick Henry probably makes, you know, the average per year, it's probably around what it is on the tag, maybe a little bit more, 11, 12, somewhere in there. It's that guaranteed money. So are you willing to guarantee him the fully guarantee upwards of 30, over 30, and then the total guarantees at 50? Are you willing to go above that? You know, that would make him, from that standpoint, the highest paid running back in the league above Ezekiel Elliott. That's what I'm curious about, and that's where it gets scary. Are you willing to throw over $50 million of guarantees at Derrick Henry?
It's a great question, and Darren, let me throw it to you. Let me
like
throw
the
it to 15
per year. That doesn't matter. It's the guarantees.
Yeah, I think they'll work all of that out. They're budgeting to have a big number for Derrick Henry. The question would be, would you be willing to live with? You're looking to trade Derrick Henry 2 years from now or 3 years from now. You know, because you want to get the most out of those next couple of years while you feel like you're in a window. Like I don't know if I could have fathomed. When they signed Todd Gurley to that huge deal, that they'd be sitting here today shopping him around, right? But that's what they want. And would they get much in return for Todd Gurley? I don't know that they would, based on what we're seeing some guys go for, right? Would you get a first rounder back from Gurley if somebody picks up that whole contract?
Well, his is a little bit different situation. Well, I don't really know how much different it is. I guess David Johnson would,
because there's
would
not as much guarantee.
Tell you he's been injured a lot too. But I mean, really, it's just about this knee problem that doesn't look like it's ever going to go away, and it's going to haunt him the rest of his career, and it's going to affect his play, you know, and it has been affecting his play. So I don't know. I think that it's not really about Todd Gurley signed the big deal and he just hit a wall and he got old and he just didn't have it anymore. I mean, Todd Gurley, before he signed the deal, was, you know, spectacular. He was dynamic. He was the Rams' offense. I mean, everything went through Todd Gurley, and then he signed the big deal, and then we've heard about this knee that has continued to, be a big concern, and that's clearly what the Rams think. I mean, that's the way I look at it. The Rams have looked at Todd Gurley and said, well, we took it, you know, we gave him the money, and we didn't see that coming, and we don't ever believe he's ever going to be the same again. So we might as well try to see if we can't move on, and because he's just going to hamper us. We've got a big contract, and, you know, he's going to when he's available, we got to play him, but yet he's never going to be the same. So it just – I guess they probably are thinking in the long run it's just going to be more detrimental than him actually helping them win football games, so they're willing to move on from him. But, you know, that's – there's no way of predicting that, right? I don't think, unless they miss something. But, I mean, it does seem like David Johnson, he's never been the same. He got – and I don't think his was – he had the ACL, right? Right after he signed the deal, didn't he get hurt like the first game?
Yeah.
He blew out his ACL and he was lost for the season. So that there's no way to control that. But since he's come back, other guys have rebounded from ACL and he just hasn't. Now, I'm sure
and
Arizona
the scheme, Teron
the
pointed
same
out
way.
The scheme change too. I mean, with
yep.
Cliff Kingsbury coming in there, I mean,
true.
It's a completely different scheme change. You know, Teron pointed that out the other night when we were talking
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, but the last 2 years wasn't – so what was his excuse for the last 2 years being total crap?
Right. Well, that I think you blame on injury.
Well, yeah, but he played. I mean, that's the thing. He played. It's not
but
like
did he bounce back? I mean, that's the risk with all of these running backs, whether it's Gurley or now Henry, of okay, I mean, we don't think Derrick Henry's going to be that guy of okay, he gets paid and then he backs off. I don't believe that for a second. I mean, I've seen videos of him during all this and he's putting in the work, but the injury, you know, the injury part of it is definitely scary and that can be a factor.
I don't know what that
so would you front? Would you front load the contract? I think there might be a lot of sense in front loading the contract for Henry and paying him for the next 2 or 3 years, where you have a reasonable thing, you know, reasonable sense that, barring a catastrophic injury, which is always possible, that he's going to be productive. He's in the prime, I think, for the next 2 or 3 seasons. But beyond that, you know, I think you're getting into, you know, that whole Father Time situation that happens quickly to running backs.
This is what Teron just texted me. See what you guys think about this. 4 years, $85 million, $45 million guaranteed, but $34 million is fully guaranteed. So no matter what, $34 million is what he gets.
I'm okay with that. Well,
I'd be fine with that.
He's guaranteed. It's not just the guaranteed money. The only thing the first year he's going to get to. I mean, usually the first year is always going to be guaranteed. So whatever that number is, and the $34 million is what he would get, because it's you have to factor in the first year,
sure,
as well, because they're
going
to get.
Floyd always said.
That. Yeah, right. That's what Floyd has always said. Like, first year they're going to get. After that, years two, three, and whatever. How many years you want to make it? You fill in the blanks, and we'll sign. And, but so, I guess I would be I'd be okay with that. I mean, I don't really see that jumping out to me as something you couldn't live with. I mean, Chase, I thought what you said is right. We've all said this, that you know they have no choice. Like that's why we really haven't talked. Right, they haven't talked much about.
He's the guy that has made them go,
Henry, because we've known they're going to figure it out. It's just a matter of how they're going to figure it out. But they don't have a choice, and you don't want him disgruntled. He's earned it. He's been a team guy. He's waited his turn. He's said and done all the right things. And then the last 2 years, when given the opportunities, he's gone out, especially last year, but even that month that we talked about the year before, he has owned the league. He has dominated the league. He has been the talk of the league, and right now he is the fan favorite. He is the most popular guy on the team. So they don't have a choice. I don't know if that's absurd or not, Chase. Just listening to you say what Teron said, I would be okay with that. I would off on that as a front office. That's me. First
the reason I brought it up to begin with is I just think it illustrates why so many people over the years who are NFL GMs have shied away from paying the big money to running backs or being very careful who they're willing to do that with. Now, I think, as we've just said, Derrick Henry is a guy that you just have to do it with, right? He's one of those rare guys that still can get the big-time money because he's that important to the team. But it just shows you, Todd Gurley was one of those guys. Nobody batted an eye when he got the big money. But here they are 2 years later, and he's on the trading block.
Yep. So time will tell, and I don't know if we're going to have a resolution with this anytime soon. I suggest probably not. Or they don't have to right now. There's plenty of time in the NFL offseason for them to figure this out. I don't think we're going to have resolve anytime soon. But with that being said, we'll come back, speak with Elliot Friedman. Willie, you're going to tell everybody about the good folks at Lee Company, and then we'll come back and talk with Elliot Friedman to kick off the fourth and final hour.
All right, looking forward to talking with Elliot for sure. Let me tell you about Lee Company, 615-567-1000. The Lee Company operation keeps moving. They know that these are different times for sure, just like we've been talking about and everybody is, but Lee Company continues on, 615-567-1000. Go to leecompany.com and get all the information, but certainly air conditioning service, the plumbing service, the electrical service, the heating units, the annual checkups that you get with the home maintenance plan are something that is definitely something we have subscribed to over the years. It's worked well for us, and we continue to work with Lee Company. They're a big sponsor of the Nashville Predators as well as a lot of sports entities, and they will continue to do that as well. Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go online at leecompany.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.